Would you remain standing, please, for the reading of the gospel? The gospel today comes from Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 3, and then 11 through 32. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I'll say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against you, heaven, and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he got him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I've been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found.' Praise to you, Lord Christ, for your word." I should just sit down now. We could just confess our sins and accept the invitation of this parable to come to our Father through the body and blood of his Son at his table. This most loved parable of Jesus needs very little in the way of explanation. It's a huge astronomical body of a story with a grace and a gravity that pulls you into it and makes you feel like it's your own story. There are just three main characters, but most of us identify with at least one of them. You may have been the prodigal child wandering off on your own course, only to return to the love that was always waiting for you. You may have felt the resentment of the good child who did everything right, only to discover that it didn't matter much, that you weren't loved any more than the prodigal was. Or perhaps you've been a loving parent, watching and waiting, praying and hoping for the return of the child you would welcome with open arms. It's likely that at different points in your life, and even all at once, you've been two or even all three of these characters in your own story. The incredible gravitational force of Jesus' story is a personal draw. We get it, understand it with our hearts as much as our minds. It's our own story, repeated over and over in our lives, in our families, in our relationships. That's why there's not a whole lot more to say once we've heard the story and really listened to it again. And so in the past, when I preached on this parable, I've acknowledged its gravity and force by simply retelling it in a more modern setting. Two or three times I've told it as a golfing parable about an aging golf pro father watching his two sons play around and keeping score for them. One son had followed in his father's footsteps and became a pro himself, practicing and working on his game all the time. The other son dropped the game when he left home and was as careless about it as he was about everything else. In the end, they learned their father wasn't keeping score at all, and his love for both of them had nothing to do with how well they performed on the golf course. Looking back over old sermons on this text this past week, I discovered another sermon on this text that I had forgotten about, maybe because I've been pulled in deeper than I had imagined 12 years ago. I started out, there was a man who had two daughters. Back then, I thought I was just speaking fiction, a story, with only the faintest connections to my own life. I never really imagined I'd have a younger prodigal daughter of my own wandering away from her faith. Yet here I am. Here we are. In that story, I pictured a man with daughters named Elaine and Lucy, not my own kids. But Elaine was the good child and Lucy was the prodigal. I told how Lucy seemed to seek out trouble from her youngest years, always testing the limits. At age 3, she flooded their home by trying to flush her older sister's favorite stuffed bunny down the toilet. That was how they grew up, Lucy getting into more and more serious trouble while despising her always obedient, perfect sister. Most of that sermon was about Lucy and her rebellion. I detailed her misbehavior until she ultimately left home around age 18, taking a credit card and one of the family cars. I said her father tracked her journey across the country by calling the bank about the charges she put on the card. Today, I'd have to say he followed her by the GPS in her phone and watched the charges online. Like I said, my retelling was mostly about the prodigal. And that's how we usually hear Jesus' parable. We think of our own sin and rebellion and picture God as the loving parent ready to welcome us. But as Fred Craddock reminds us, and as we remembered in Sunday school last year, this parable is about two sons. The father loved them both. He was generous to them both. Notice in verse 12 that when the prodigal asked for his share of the inheritance, the father divided his property between them. And what I want to focus today is that the father also went running out to the prodigal, but he also went out to the older son. In my old sermon story, I should have put Elaine there alongside her father as he tracked her sister. She would have asked him to cancel that credit card she was using for her escapades. She would have told him to quit paying for Lucy's cell phone. If she wasn't going to come home and play by the rules, then why should she be a drag on the family's resources? The elder brother in Jesus' parable should have more of our attention because that's to whom he told the story. That's why we read the first 3 verses of this chapter, to hear whom the audience was. It wasn't a room full of prodigals at the rescue mission. It was a crowd of scribes and Pharisees, good folks, grumbling about all the prodigals Jesus was welcoming and hanging out with. And so as much as we feel warmed and welcomed by God in this story when we think about our own prodigal selves, it's really a story more for elder siblings than for their delinquent younger brothers and sisters. Just like we've been remembering all this Lent, the great message of God's love and forgiveness not only sets us free from sin and guilt, it calls us to be like Him, to be loving and forgiving like God is. And we cannot be like our loving Father if we're hanging back and refusing to enter into His own joy at forgiving sinners. In my story about the man with two daughters, the last scene was the father's 50th birthday party. Lucy was still gone, but his wife and daughter Elaine threw him a huge party. He refused to have the candles lit on the cake, wanting to wait a little longer to see if anyone else would be coming. As it happened, Lucy did show up that evening. The other guests had all gone, the cake was still untouched, and Dad was sitting looking sadly out the window. When she walked slowly up the steps, he saw her, ran to the door, and embraced her, thrilled that she came home for his party. It was totally by accident. She hadn't remembered her father's birthday, but her credit card was maxed out. She was out of money and homeless. She'd been living on the streets and realized home was better. So there she was. Dad didn't care. He called for Mom and Elaine, who had gone to bed. He lit the candles himself. He told everyone it was time to celebrate because his daughter was finally home. He even gave Lucy a present, an heirloom ring from his mother. That's when Elaine got up, stalked to the door, and walked out, slamming it behind her. Just like in Jesus' story, the father went out to talk to that elder sibling to remind her of his love for both of them. He sat on the steps with Elaine and asked her how he could not be happy with her sister back. How could it not be time for a party? But he loved her, Elaine, just as much. Everything in the house was hers if she wanted it. And he had a precious present for her, too. Wouldn't she please come back inside? My story ended like Jesus' parable. I did not tell what Elaine did, only what her father said and did. He got up and went back into the house, leaving Elaine out there on the steps. And then he sat down in his chair, looking out the window, and started waiting again, this time for the other daughter. That's our God, and that is you and I. He is always waiting, always full of loving forgiveness, whether it's for our sins or for our hard and unforgiving hearts. My guess is just like in Jesus' time, many of us are elder siblings needing to come in and join the party as our Lord welcomes home his prodigals. We start back inside by admitting our resentment and remembering our own prodigal sins. In Jesus' parable, that's one of the things the elder brother failed to recognize. Notice in verse 29 that he says, "I have never disobeyed your commands." As elder siblings, we must admit the falsehood in a claim like that. As we heard from Paul in 2 Corinthians 5, we are all reconciled to God through Christ, not through our own obedience. And because that's how we've been shown the love of God, Paul says we have a ministry of reconciliation to show that same love to our brothers and sisters. Prodigal child or elder sibling, Christ died and rose to welcome and receive you into the Father's love. He's waiting for you. Amen.